welcome back to your new show called Complete Feng Shui. Now, before I get on with the show, just a reminder, if you're listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, Payo is ready and waiting to take your comments, questions, and provide you with links to anything that we talk about in the show today. If you're watching this via replay on Binge Networks USA, Hero Go TV USA, or on the Tony TV channel app available on Roku, LG, and Samsung smart TVs across the planet, you will find links to all the information that we speak about today in the description associated with this show. Now, we've been doing a little regular acknowledgement to country, which is a movement globally that acknowledges the special and important role Indigenous communities play in the development of our country's cultural identity. So I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to the elders past and present and all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples listening here today. Now, I love this part of the week when I get to talk to Master Feng Shui and Chinese astrology expert, Dr. Michelle Castle, but it's Michelle. She's done enough metaphysical studies to actually almost reach doctorate level, but she's not quite there yet. So Michelle was a mum of three when she started to develop an interest in this obscure field, which is unusual for a Western woman to have such a defined and beautiful interest. And her journey began about 20 years ago when Feng Shui tipped her interest and rapidly gained momentum and interest in the West. Like many, she'd read about the subject, friends had their homes healed, and her curiosity flourished. A Feng Shui consultant came to Michelle's home and instructed her on colours, furniture placement, and assortment of symbolism. Red needed to be removed from a wall, furniture directions needed realignment, jade and kumquat plants were placed at doors, mirrors and pictures rehomed, salt went into certain spots, and crystals hung to redirect energy. And the list went on. And this started a lifelong journey for Michelle. And she found an exciting new venture and started her upskilling into Feng Shui and Chinese astrology. And that was over 20 years ago. And now she is a Feng Shui master herself and has a deep understanding of this multi-layered science of practice. She's taught Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, and metaphysical studies for the Silk Road Asian Studies at Curtin University and has worked extensively on interiors, renovations, and emerging businesses and established premises. Through many years of practicing and consulting, Michelle has also become an author and a public speaker and brings her wealth of knowledge and experience to this new Feng Shui series. Welcome back to the show, Michelle. It's delightful to have you here again.
Thank you. Lovely to be here. Very excited.
I'm glad that we get to have this session every week. And just a reminder for the audience, if there's something in particular you want to ask, please let Michelle know on michelle@completefengshui.com or drop me an email, info@tonylontis.com, and we will endeavour to answer your questions around Feng Shui and Chinese astrology. So this week, we want to talk about your first book, the one that started it all, because you wrote the book from the perspective that you wished you'd known these things when you started out on your journey. So Michelle, let's talk about the book. What's it's called, what's in it, why we should buy it, and where we can get it.
Okay, well, it's actually called Beginner's Feng Shui, so it's starting right at the start, because it is all the things that I wish that I actually knew when I started my Feng Shui journey. As I mentioned in the last episode, I actually had my house feng shui. That's what piqued my interest in the first place. And the fact that I was told I couldn't have a red wall and I needed to put salt somewhere and I needed to hang a crystal, and crazy, so many people say you need to hang a mirror above the toilet or above the door leading into your laundry or toilets. So much of this superstition actually confused me, and I really wanted to understand why I needed to hang a mirror above the door of my toilet before I entered. Particularly that seemed quite obscure to me. So yes. I realized that with consulting and with dealing with people over time, that so much of feng shui is actually shrouded in symbolization. So it is, there's a lot of tips and there's a lot of symbolization and there's a lot of confused information out there. So I just wanted to make it really simple so people could pick it up. And I kind of thought, well, I have all this knowledge. I just want to be able to help people enable themselves and to share my knowledge. So Beginner's Feng Shui actually started that way. And I actually started writing Beginner's Feng Shui back in 2014. So, but I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I do like things to be right and correct. So Beginner's Feng Shui has actually had about 3 revamps. I've changed the pictures in Beginner's Feng Shui about 3 times until I was happy with it and until I felt that it was simple enough for anybody that didn't know anything about Feng Shui. So if you really truly are a beginner, this was an easy book to actually pick up and to read and to be able to work your way through within your home without it getting too confusing for you.
Yeah. So Michelle, when you spoke about the mirror on the above the door that you entered to go to the toilet, that to me sounds a little obscure, but I know it must be correct because it's coming from you, number one. But can you just, that simple little thing to do, can you explain why it's so important? And then I want to reflect on your original feng shui consultation and how it impacted your life once you listened and implemented those suggestions.
Well, the having a mirror above the laundry or the toilet door to me sounded really, really crazy. I just didn't quite understand the symbolization of it. And I know there's a lot of masters and there's a lot of people all the way around the world that do have these tiny little bhagwan mirrors above their laundry door.
That was my next question.
Yeah, so it usually sits, it's not exactly sitting above the toilet. It's sitting above the laundry or the toilet door on the outside before you enter those rooms. And the reason why is back in the day, traditionally, toilets were actually, and bathrooms were out areas. They weren't actually within the home because, after all, it is the area that we get rid of waste. So, and yet in this day and age, we make our bathrooms and toilets so extremely glamorous and luxury. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that in the first place. It was actually an area where waste was removed from the body and was removed from the home. Yeah. So I think the mirror initially came about to actually stop good energy leaving the home. So because a mirror does the job of it attracts whatever it sees. So a mirror's job is actually to draw in the energy that it sees. So that would mean by placing the mirror above your laundry or above your toilet door, that the energy was actually drawn into the mirror, which meant it was kept within the home and your good energy and chi as such wasn't going down the drain. Now, drains is actually a really interesting point as well, because I remember going to one client's house and she was so convinced that she knew so much about feng shui that she'd actually put masking tape over the drains in her laundry and bathroom so that no positive energy could, in fact, escape the house at all. And that to me, that was really quite interesting, an interesting point of view, if nothing else. But it's also a dangerous point of view. And obviously in our country, our drains aren't allowed to be covered. So it's interesting the extreme that people will actually go to follow the symbolization in feng shui, which, and a lot of it is old wives' tales. It started at a time, and our times are really quite different now. Yeah. So I'm not a big believer in the fact that you need a mirror above your laundry or toilet.
That was my next question.
No, I don't actually. I have a lot of mirrors actually within my home, but obviously they're placed correctly. So no small bhagwan mirrors above any laundry or toilet door or bathroom door actually in my home. It it's not a symbolization that I prescribe to.
Good, good observation. So your first book, Beginner's Guide to Feng Shui, is available where? Where can people listen?
It's actually available all the way around the world. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. So it's on multiple sites at the moment.
Good.
It's very exciting being an author, and it was very surprising to me how many countries and how far around the world once you write a book, you could actually connect with people, which is very, very exciting.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we've been talking this week, Michelle and I, we talked to, about the book, but there's some more exciting things happening in your Complete Feng Shui world. And one of those is the 365 Everyday Feng Shui Tips Journal. Tell me about how this idea came about, where it's at, and how people can get it, what it's for, how you use it.
Okay, so when I finished the beginner's feng shui, I was really excited. Obviously, I launched it and it was received very well. But then I realized that from a Facebook point of view or from a post point of view, often people liked small increments of information instead of actually having to read a whole book. So I was finding I was going to clients' homes and they had actually purchased my book, they had read my book, and they had followed it by the T, which initially is quite an overwhelm for people to read a book and then feel that they have to actually act on everything within the book. So I looked at it and thought, there's actually got to be a simpler way. How can I simplify this information, and how can I actually give more information, and how can I help people understand the flow within their home and to actually tap into the goals that they actually want? So Feng Shui is actually very goal and action orientated. So it's important to understand what your goal is, what you're actually practicing feng shui for. Is it that you would like to increase wealth, or you need better health, or you'd like to pull in a better relationship, or you'd like to improve the relationships that you actually have? So the same, there's so many tips out there and there's so much symbolization out there. And I thought, okay, I'll do a tips book. And then I was talking to a client, and she was talking about a journal. And all of a sudden it was like a penny drop moment. I thought that would be perfect if I actually created a tips journal. So the book actually starts with you looking at your home, understanding your home, walking through your home and viewing it, and noticing the first thing that you see on waking and the last thing that you see as you're leaving your home, and also understanding how you feel about your home. So you're actually looking at your home from a feng shui point of view. And then the tips are a daily tip. And it's also daily journaling. So there's area for you to journal every day, and there's a tip every day. So it makes it really quite simple for people to digest, I suppose, and to act upon, because they're not overwhelmed by pages and paragraphs of information.
Yeah.
They simply just have to sit with the one tip for that day and look at it and go, is this something that I can actually action? So I always believe with feng shui that you don't sweat the big stuff. If there's something that you can't action, and there's something that you truly, truly can't do, because in a lot of instances, in a lot of homes, there's things that people can't do. They simply can't change
the wall.
They can't knock down a wall.
Orientation.
They might not even be able to move home. So they have to be able to tap into something that works for them right there and then. So that's why I really love my tips journal, because I think it's a really simple, easy approach. And obviously you can rush through it if you want to, but I think you actually get a lot more out of it by simply doing one tip a day and actually reflecting on it and thinking about what your goals are and what action needs to be taken to actually reach those goals.
So Michelle, going back to your first experience with having the consultation around your home, I'm assuming that you couldn't implement everything that the consultant wanted you to do, but I'm wondering how that affected your life once you'd had that consultation, and once you'd, because that's what you do for people now. You go into their homes, their businesses, their companies, and give them a feng shui consultation. How does that impact lives and business? What are some of the results from your personal perspective first, and then from some of your clients, what happens around their lives?
Well, once I'd had the consultation, and then once I had a little bit more understanding of why I was actually taking things into consideration and acting on them. So one of the first things that was taken into consideration within the home was the movement of mirrors. And mirrors is a mirror's job is actually the job of a mirror is actually to draw in the energy that it sees. So, and I didn't understand that at the time, and a lot of people don't understand that mirror. Most people understand and have known the story of, oh, you shouldn't put a mirror in front of your front door. That's something that often needs to be corrected in a home because people will place a mirror right in line of their front door. And so moving mirrors was probably the first step that I took because that was easy. That was something that I could do without my husband. I could move some mirrors. Moving furniture around that I needed a little bit more assistance with. But I actually found by shifting the mirrors within the home, I was able to tap into more favorable luck within the home. So I didn't understand which luck I was actually needing to tap into prior to feng shui consultation. Also, the bed placement. So, the placement of the direction of the bed, which is often the head of your bed, like where your head is.
I can
So,
vouch for this one.
people get very confused about a facing direction of the bed because we automatically assume that our facing direction is the same as when we're sitting or standing. So, it's actually the direction of our eyes and the direction of our shoulder. So, when we're laying down, though, within our bed, it's actually the opposite because in a bed, your facing direction is the tip of your head. Now, somebody asked me that the other day and they said, why is that? And all of a sudden, it came to me that I felt it must be something to do with the alignment, the same as the chakras. Because if you really think about it, if you do any healing in anything natural or alternate, they always talk about the energy entering from your crown chakra.
They
So to me,
do.
the bed direction is really no different because when you're sleeping, the energy is obviously still entering from your crown chakra. So it then comes down to the magnetic pull of the water content in your body. That's what a favorable or an unfavorable qua or eight mansions direction actually simply relates to. Is your body in flow? Now, if your body is in flow, you sleep so much better, you have much better concentration, which means you have increased wealth, you have increased productivity, you have increased study ability. So a favorable bed direction is one of the first things that people should always look into within their home, is getting the best qua direction for them. Because my children actually went from sleeping and waking me half the night to actually sleeping all night. So that was amazing. I was hooked. Feng Shui worked. Like my children were sleeping and they hadn't actually slept for probably 3 or 4 years. My children were quite small at this point in time. So to me, that was absolutely magic that I'd gone from having regular broken sleep with a child waking me every 2 or 3 hours to all of a sudden being able to put my children to bed and to have them sleep in their own bed for the whole night. And so that was very, very powerful. That was kind of very powerful, and that got me hooked before I actually took anything else into consideration.
And I have to say, audience, that Michelle helped me with a sleep issue back in December, and I just said to her, "I'm not sleeping properly," and she actually got me to change the direction of our bed, which doesn't suit what the room was originally set up for. But I don't care. I've actually not. Had very much interrupted sleep at all since I changed the direction of the bed. Does it make the room tricky to get in and out of? Well, yeah, a little bit, but I don't care because I've never slept as well as I sleep now, and that was just changing the bed one direction to another direction. So I actually, that's my first experience with feng shui, and it's a very positive one, and it was simple to fix. There's no big deal. Who cares what, just shift your bed and have better sleep. End of story. It was great.
And it's not just actually sleeping. People, children and adults these days do an awful lot of gaming. We're spending a lot of time working from home over the last year or two due to world circumstances where we're actually faced that we're having to spend a lot more time at our computers and actually at home. And I find when I go into businesses, it's the quiet direction is one of the first things that I look at for the staff. Because if you've got staff that's spending 7 to 8 hours a day working for you and they're actually working in an unfavorable direction, you're not getting productivity out of them. They're continuously getting up, they're talking, they're gossiping, they're getting a drink. Where if you're actually in flow and you're facing your most favorable direction, then you're going to get the most productivity. And the same with school. And it was really interesting because I noticed it very early in the day that my children and at school, so as they were going through school, the directions actually started flipping. So I noticed from 1 year to the next with my children at school that 1 year we kind of said, oh, that teacher's really good with boys, but she doesn't actually have any control with girls. And I actually looked at the choir directions and realised that generally because your choir direction is actually taken from your year of birth. So it's only from your year of birth. It is a stagnant form of feng shui, so it's non-time dimensional. And a choir direction never actually changes. So your choir direction is taken from your year of birth. So often the choir directions for male and female varies from 1 year to the next. So I noticed that within the classroom, the year that all the boys were performing well and they were listening to the teacher, they were all actually facing a favourable direction. But the girls were actually in an unfavourable direction because they were the opposite direction. And I don't know about around the rest of the world, but in Australia, I find a lot of our schools, the classrooms go back to back. So from they then change. So from one year the boys are in a favourable direction, they actually change to the next classroom. So they're then in the opposite direction and all of a sudden they don't have concentration and they play up and we go, oh, that teacher doesn't know what she's doing. So I actually put this to the teacher for my younger son and said, can we actually try this? Can you? And I told her all the directions of all the little girls in the room and I told her all the directions of the boys in the room. And she actually rearranged her classroom and got results. Yeah, she couldn't believe it. This teacher was at the point she was tearing her hair out. And so she was actually open to it. So it was really good to put my view and my knowledge into action and to go, okay, I've actually made a difference in that classroom for all 25 children within that classroom. And none of the mums would have even realised it, but it was actually feng shui doing its magic in a classroom.
Yeah. Michelle, you've also been working on an everyday subscription form of feng shui whereby feng shui and Chinese astrology enthusiasts can get a daily tip. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that's very exciting. I've just launched that. All of these things come from my clients as well. I visit clients and I sit and I have a chat and one client goes, oh, I wish you could do that and I wish you could do that. And I go, yeah, actually, I hadn't thought of it, but, yeah, I'm sure I can do that. So this daily subscription came this year from one of my clients. He said, I wish your yearly and monthly information could come to me every morning. I would love to wake up and have a message from you to tell me what type of day I'm going to have. And I thought about it and I thought, of course, that is so totally possible because not only from a yearly and a monthly point of view, so my monthly subscription goes very much over what is happening for the whole month within the home, the different sectors of the home, which then relates to the country and obviously the overall map of the world. But we also have the considerations of the 12 animals of how they're actually affected and performing. Now, the energy with the animals changes every day and we have a change of animal every 2 hours. So the interplay of the Chinese astrology and animals is very important to date selection and right through China and those types of countries. So many decisions aren't made unless it is a favourable date. So we have different date selections. So today, today is actually a day of destruction. So there could be major issues go down all around the world. like there will be destruction in major pockets and major points of the world to today. And we can fine tune that with where the animals are actually placed and also where the flying stars and the energies actually intensified and placed. And we also look into how destruction is actually going to affect all of us. Now, you can say day of destruction is actually really, really quite negative, but the day of destruction can actually be extremely positive because everything has a yin and yang impact. So if you look at the flip side of everything, every time we get hurt, we go, oh, that was awful. We've been hurt. But we can actually look at it and go, you know, that was a really good lesson. That was a fabulous gift.
Yes.
We can actually do the same with feng shui. So date selection and understanding what is happening from a daily point of view is extremely important. So a day of destruction is a fabulous day to actually start a diet, to actually change the way that you're thinking. You're able to destroy ideas that you have. You're able to cut thoughts that you may have.
Yes.
So a day of destruction, even though from the overall world point of view we think is going to be really quite negative, destruction actually brings about major change. So you can actually tap into that energy, which is just amazing. But even though it's a day of destruction, today is also a day of what we call Flying Star 4. Now, the Flying Star 4 relates to Flower of Romance. It relates to Peach Blossom Luck, and it also relates to academic endeavours. So even though it may be a day of destruction, the energy of the day is of people and logic and intelligence and academic, and also a friendly feel towards people. So we have that Flower of Romance. So at the same time, it's a day that it's a really good day to go on a date. You may destroy the relationship you had yesterday by going on a date with somebody new today, but it all works out in the end, right? So destruction can be very favourable for some people, but we then go, okay, well, what is the most unfavourable pocket for today? And the most unfavourable pocket for today in the area of conflict today is actually the East. So it's really quite interesting to see how badly the weather plays out on the East Coast, how angry and dissatisfied things are actually in China, how Putin's going to feel because he's also in the East. Like this is all the conflict direction. So this energy comes into play. We can also look at which animals it will be a good day for. So today it's a good day for the ox and the snake. So if you are an ox or a snake, even though it may be a day of destruction, it's not going to be unfavourable for you. So daily feng shui is amazing. I'm very excited about it because it means I can help so many people with their everyday actions and decisions. Simply cutting your hair. If you cut your hair on an unfavourable day, it may cause money loss. If you cut your hair on a favourable day, you may have a money gain or you'll have a gain in reputation. So you need to sign a contract on a favourable day. Yes. You need to travel. Renovation, breaking ground, like date selections, really huge. Is it a good day to get married? Like, so daily feng shui really just takes it to that next level, the same as a horoscope reading, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving people that up-to-date information, which helps them to decide what actions they should take for the day.
And, Michelle, people will be able to subscribe and get their daily dose of feng shui and Chinese astrology in their inbox, won't they?
They will, yes. At the moment, I've actually set it up. I'm looking at three avenues for this. There will be an app that's coming soon, and there will also be like a phone bot where people can call in and actually hear my voice tell you today's reading. But at the moment, the first step has actually been a subscription. So they will actually receive, I think I've set it for like 1 o'clock in the morning. So everybody wakes up to the subscription and to the daily forecast in their inbox. So it's simply an email that they receive by joining and becoming a daily subscriber.
I have to say, I'm actually a huge fan of subscription models that deliver something, a little bit of guidance and help directly to your inbox every day. So I've got maybe four across completely different genres of subjects. But in terms of getting that little bite-sized bit of information every day in my inbox, I find it incredibly helpful. There's not a lot to read. There's not a lot to take in. It's just a bite-sized bit of information, and it just sets you up for the day, and it remains in your mind actually for the whole of the day, and where I would used to have just made decisions willy-nilly, now I'm like very conscious, okay, so perhaps this can wait till tomorrow, perhaps I don't need to respond to this email today, or if it's a day of distraction, yeah, today's the day to deal with that email. So
yeah, it's a day of distraction, it's the day to give up drinking, to stop smoking, yeah. to go, okay, I'm going to change that habit. So
yeah.
Everything's not always negative. Like feng shui has the ability to actually provide a lot of hope for people, but people still have to remember that they have to take action, which is why a daily forecast is so important.
Invaluable.
And can be so helpful. And I'm also for this year, for initially, you also receive a free tip as well with the daily forecast. So I'm also including a tip with the daily forecast as well, just so people once again they get that little bit extra that they weren't actually expecting. But it just helps them along. And I think it's very important to have hope at the moment. I think it's very important.
I was just going to say, step up. You've mentioned just before about the East being in an unfavorable phase, so to speak, and the realization that the whole East Coast of Australia is in a horrible mess related to the flooding rain. I've never seen a system contain as much rain that has been dumped on an area from mid-Queensland right down to the bottom of Australia. And I'm talking monumental levels of water. So this is, 1,000 millimetres, 600 millimetres, 700 millimetres, etc., etc. And so briefly, when Michelle and I were prepping for the show today, we were talking about that water and the wind influence. So Michelle, can you tell the audience about that conversation about the wind and the water and how that relates to what's happening in Australia? And then we might reflect a little bit on China, Ukraine as well.
Okay, so when we look at feng shui and the way that we're reading the energy and the elements, generally we talk about flying stars. And flying stars is just a name for it's an energy point. It's how we actually explain the different elements that are actually around, and everything is based back on the five elements, which is fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. Now, feng shui actually means wind and water. So the combination of feng shui relates to wind and water, because back in the day when feng shui was actually practiced, it was all about the placement of the home. So you would place the house on the side of a mountain, halfway down the mountain, so you actually had back support. And then you would build out buildings on either side, or you would plant trees on either side so that you had support on either side, like an armchair as such. And then you would have a large open space in front of you, and you would possibly face a river. So the river back then was actually classed as the road. So feng shui was all about drawing in the energy from the water, because the water is our prosperity, and the wind is actually our support. So the wind embraces us and supports us. But if we look at the flying stars, each flying star relates to a different element. And flying star three, which relates to anger, dissatisfaction, conflict, frustrations. It also relates to action and movement. So if I've got a sports star, or I've got somebody that's lazy that really needs to get moving, well, then I will want to activate a flying star three for that person, because it brings dissatisfaction, like destruction, brings about action, movement, and change. It makes us really look at things, which means we then change things. So the flying star three this year is bringing in a lot of action, movement, and change. And the flying star three, and also the flying star four. So the flying star four is also a number of academic endeavors. It's a number of romance. It's a number of logic and people luck. But both flying star three and four are both in the wood nature. So they're both of the wood element initially. And all the flying stars this year are in their original location. So the three originally sits in the east, and the four originally sits in the southeast. And so as soon as we have really strong wood, we have wind, because wood actually means wind, which is why we have major winds of change, and we have major growth and movement, and we have major dissatisfaction. Because the 3 and 4 sit in the southeast and the east, that's why we've actually got a major influx of inclement weather from wind.
Yeah, and it also makes sense that there's lots of social change happening at the moment as well. There's lots of conversations about equality. There's lots of change around just so many things. So it's actually really fascinating how the feng shui and Chinese astrology sits with that as well. I wanted to just briefly reflect on what's happening with China and what's happening with Russia, because feng shui has a lot of say about what's happening in those areas as well. Can you explain that for us, Michelle?
Yeah, so the Australia actually sits in the south. If we flew flying stars, like a noughts and crosses chart, basically over a world map, then Australia sits in the southeast corner. And so that means our southeast pocket and our southeast countries will actually look at things more from a logical approach and a more academic and a more intelligent approach, and also what is good for the people approach. And we're actually seeing that this year, very much so in Melbourne and in the eastern states. Like, the southeast pockets are actually looking at things quite differently to how they looked at things last year. Now, China and the bottom half of Russia, if we're looking at the same type of flying star grid, sits in the east pocket. So the east is all about anger, conflict, dissatisfaction, movement and change. So because Russia sits between the flying star 3, and then the top half of Russia also sits in the northeast sector of the world, and the northeast sector of the world this year has current prosperity. So it's quite interesting. So from Russia's point, they feel they're actually in a position of current prosperity. They feel that they're in a position of success. And the flying star 3, the winds of change, is actually stirring up where they're wanting to go and what they're wanting to do. Now, in the middle of the world, we last year had a flying star 6. Now, the flying star 6 is classed as a heaven number, but it also brings about power struggle, status, authority, and a pushback against power and authority. And this sits this year in the northwest. So we saw even in Canada with all the truckies standing up. So that is actually the pushback of authority. And we saw it happening last year in the middle of the world. So Europe actually sits in the middle section of the world map. So this is why we had such a major pushback and stand in the middle of all countries and states and homes last year. So people were kind of getting all fired up to what they're entitled to, and we did have that pushback against authority. Yes. Because the 6 this year sits in the northwest sector actually relates to the patriarch, so the man of the house. It also relates to male managers, male CEOs, our politicians. So not only, and even in Australia, you can see Sydney, ACT, that all sits in the east. So we have all this anger, conflict, dissatisfaction and discord. And then we also have all our politicians and world leaders kind of grappling.
Male as well, predominantly male. And male. So very much grappling.
And it's quite interesting, because when we change time period in 2024, at the moment it's actually the energy sits the strongest in the young male. So you will find, from a political point of view, young men are actually very favoured. The younger politician generally wins the race at this point of time. So young men are in a very strong position. But once we hit 2024, young men energy becomes past. It becomes past. It's no longer as powerful. And period 9, which comes in at 2024, is actually the period of the young woman, or the middle-aged woman, which is really because we're middle-aged. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, so I really think over the next couple of years, by period 9, we will actually see a much stronger front of women in strong leadership roles all the way around the world.
That's incredibly exciting because there needs to be more women in conversations around
Yes.
politics and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really positive news to hear that we're heading towards that way.
Yes.
And interesting, can feng shui, if you look using feng shui and Chinese astrology, if you look to the future, can you predict or give accuracy around what might happen in certain situations? Or does it give you a bit of an idea of what might
Yeah,
happen?
definitely to a point. You can actually predict and have a look at how this year is playing out if you actually look back in history and if you did a Google search and you go, what happened in 1962?
That's
So what
that.
happened in 1962 will be very relevant to what happens this year. With the energies were actually in the same position. So feng shui is all about energy, but it's not stagnant, it's time dimensional and it changes and moves all the time. But it does actually run on a formula. So we can forecast it very easily and predict what is going to happen from 1 month to the next and 1 year to the next, simply by looking back in history and also
And
by understanding how the flying stars as such, the energy and the Chinese animals will actually perform at any given time. The only variable that we have these days is humankind, our control, our ego, and a lot is actually to do with ego, of course, and that control and that fighter spirit that as humans we actually all have. So this is where feng shui and Chinese astrology is so powerful, because if you have an understanding of what is happening within the environment and you have an understanding of what is happening actually within you, and your capabilities, your characteristics and your traits, you can then improve. You can actually use what you've got to make the most of a situation.
Fascinating stuff. Now, we spoke earlier that you're working on a new app. Do you have any time frame for when the app's going to be ready?
Well, I do like to get things done quickly
I know
when
you
I
do.
can.
You're
So,
so good at
I'm
that.
hoping I'm hoping the app will actually be rolled out within a month or two. So it will just
Fantastic.
depend
So we will still be doing
how locked
shows.
down with
So,
COVID I am this month. If I'm locked down greatly at home, and I'm not able to be on site consulting, the app will actually happen a lot quicker than if I'm out there helping people. So, it's hard to
Michelle,
say.
do you think that Western Australia is likely to lock down again or?
Look, I predicted this time last year, I actually said that Western Australia would be in a very unfavourable position and we would be
And
hit
it is
with
at the
COVID.
moment.
Yeah, I actually said COVID would hit us greatly in March and in April. We would be affected in a major way by March and April. The rest of the world would get it and the rest of Australia would actually get it prior to that date, but we wouldn't be really impacted, and I don't
Until.
believe we have any idea. I really don't think Western Australia is actually impacted as yet. So I think the
I
next
wondered.
year or two is going to be extremely telling. The Western Australia, Perth actually sits in the southwest pocket, and the southwest pocket has the
Yes,
flying
it
star two
does.
this year. Two does represent sickness and illness, and so I do believe we will be, like people
In a
can go,
little bit of.
that's rubbish. You can just look at the climate and go, well, yeah, you have to be affected. But I did actually say 12 months ago that it is
That
now that we would actually be
would be.
affected. How badly we are affected will really come down to the people and come down to how much knowledge we have. Like, we're much luckier than the other states
I
because
agree.
we actually had so much time to gather information
Prep.
and to gather understanding of what works and what doesn't work. So, we are in a very favourable position, we just haven't actually
to deal with an unfavourable outcome.
Yes,
okay,
that's right.
That makes complete sense. Before we run out of time, I actually wanted to talk to you this week about the process of working with you using feng shui and Chinese astrology around building a home, an existing home, or doing a renovation, and what that looks like working with you in those situations.
Okay, so if you're lucky enough to be in Perth, you get to work with me one-on-one.
Yes.
Now that the border restrictions are over, I will be able to start travelling again, which means I will be able to consult in Asia and also in the eastern states. So I am planning on being in Queensland. So if anyone's in Queensland wanting consulting, I will actually be visiting in the next couple of months. So when I take on clients, I always look at their home, their building. You actually need a certain amount of information from a client. So you need the address, a plan, and also the age that the building was built, plus all the birth details of all the occupants. I then do all my research and I do a report, and then I either come on site to present it, or these days with Zoom, I actually consult all the way around the world. Like, I've just finished a job in London. I do them in South Africa. So these days I can actually do consultations via Zoom as well. So it's just there's a little bit more of a time delay, obviously, because you have to receive your report and information from me. And then once you've got that, we can then actually do face-to-face consultation over Zoom. And you can actually send me pictures and images of your home so that I know what I'm looking at. Because it's so mathematical and analytical, all my information comes from the compass reading of your roofline. So it's actually the compass reading of the roofline of your home, plus the age of the building and the occupant's details. So obviously there's a lot of symbolization on site that I pick out, but to get to the real guts of what is actually happening within any home, I can do it from a very analytical point of view,
which means
I can consult anywhere around the world.
And you're not guessing. You can only
you
read from actual dimensions, you read from actual charts, so it's very scientific.
I'm always reading from plans, so I've always got your plan, so I always know which room the energy is actually sitting in. And there's obviously with conversations and with mobile phone technology is amazing. I didn't have any of this technology when I started. I used to have to go to site, stand in front of the home, take a compass reading, go home, do the report, then actually come back and see the client a second time. So these days, yes, it's actually much easier, which means I can get to a lot more people.
With me, so I'm on the eastern side of Australia, Michelle's on the western side of Australia, and over Facebook Messenger, we were able to have a whole conversation, and she said, get out your phone, get the compass up and tell me which, stand this way, tell me what you see, and it was amazing. So she could see, and then with the address, she could work out where the house was, and it was really amazing. It was also lots and lots of fun. So I'm assuming that whole process can go to anywhere in the world. Michelle can do the same for you. If people are thinking about a new build, have you been consulted on new build plans and go, oh, well, actually your bedroom would actually be better mirror image that end of the house and facing that way versus what you have? Have you done that sort of work, Michelle?
Yes, I do a lot of work on new homes and new builds, and I do find a new build is the ultimate time to get your feng shui right. Because if your build is correct when you initially build, that gives you a lot more longevity. Where if I'm coming in after you've built, I'm kind of not really
retro.
Yeah, I'm having to try and correct and fix what you've already put in place and what you've already done. So it's a new build's really exciting, and it's actually really quite easy because it is quite analytical. It is very much to do with having the correct room placement, having the correct directions for it's matching. You're actually, feng shui is actually manipulating and matching the energy for the home and building with the occupant. So that it will last a long time period. So you're looking for a new build. You want longevity within that home for over a 20-year time period. So it's very interesting. And no, I do a lot of new builds, and new builds are very easy because the client doesn't necessarily even need to meet me. A new build can be done very analytically because I'm looking from the block of land. So I'm looking from your landed space. I'm able to then with Zoom, Google Earth, have a look at all the houses around you, and also I'm working off a plan, so it's very easy to get it right at that point for the occupants.
Yeah. And so, Michelle, if you're looking at like a bedroom, which is just a square block on a plan, you can then go, now your bed should face this way or that way, and that then would inform the new homeowner about, you know, electricity placement and pictures and
that's correct, because then you can look at where all your power points need to go, because your power points are of the fire nature, because they're the fire element. So you're looking at all the colours, which colours should be placed in each room. So that means you're getting your designing and your colour palette from an elemental point correct and right, right down to whether it's rendered, which colour brick you use, what colour roof you actually have, what colour window frames you have. And so we always work from the centre of the home and work out. Mm. So you can then also look at your garden placement, the correct placement for your water feature, where you would place the pool, where your entry point is the most strongest actually for you. So a new build is extremely powerful for the occupants if it is done correctly.
So if it's done correctly, then they're going to have a house that feels good, has good energy, that they will sleep well, be healthy in, and be very prosperous. All of those things, if feng shui correctly, that will be the ultimate outcome, and they will be happy there for decades.
That is the plan. Yes.
That
is the plan. That is what you want for your client. And I think with feng shui, like anything, if you don't get it right, if you cause loss of money for your client, or you cause poor health, or you cause the breakdown of a relationship, they don't tend to call you back in. So how good you are, it really comes down to how many clients you've got, how successful your outcome is over a period of time.
Yeah. Now, Michelle, before we run out of time, what's the best way for people to connect with you and work with you?
Okay, well, social media is always really easy and good. So if you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram, you can send me a message via WhatsApp, so Facebook, or you can contact me direct from my website, Complete Feng Shui. Or people can just email me direct. Just email Michelle at Complete Feng Shui. But remember, Michelle's got one L, not two. So Michelle at Complete Feng Shui, just reach out to me direct. That's the easiest. And then I take it from there.
And you enjoy answering people's questions because lots of people have questions about, look, how does this work? Is it really as good as people say? And the website in particular has got a whole range of resources available. And, again, you can connect with Michelle directly from the website. So that's just Complete Feng Shui.
And look, I love questions on social media too, because I find a question on social media actually helps a lot of people, because it may be a question that you've been thinking about but you haven't actually stepped up to ask. So if somebody else asks it and I answer it, then there might be another 10 people that actually get that answer as well. So I think social media is very, very powerful.
And there's no wrong questions.
And feng shui should be shared. My whole point is, how many people can I educate? How many people can I share this knowledge with, so that they can actually help their own lives? So the more you understand, the better your life can actually be.
Fantastic. Michelle, thank you so much. We're at the end of the show again, and I can't believe how quickly Complete Feng Shui goes when I'm chatting to you. There's just so much amazing information to get. So I encourage the audience today, connect with Michelle. If you're listening to this post live, you will see the connection links to all of the things that we've spoken about, the new subscription 365 day tip, the tips journal, and beginners feng shui as well, all available, all now. And we will be back in the next fortnight with another amazing show with Michelle. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today on Complete Feng Shui. I can't wait till the next show.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We love having you. That's your lot for this fortnight. We will be back with Michelle next fortnight for another dose of Complete Feng Shui. Don't forget to jump on and connect with Michelle. Ask her the questions you want. Grab that new tip journal. It will be amazing. Grab the book and also think about subscribing to your daily bite-sized tip via email. And that, my friends, is your lot for this week. Bye for now.